You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Oh, yes. I've come to feel very close to the birds, and I've come to realize how they feel when...
Wow, what a beautiful day for a drive. Come on, sweetie bird. You're going with me. Where are all those birds coming from?
Lady, you gotta get out of here.
Look at the poor Batman. They've patched his eyes out.
Never mind that. That's just Hitchcock. He makes a cameo in all his commercials. You gotta roll the windows up. Get your windows up.
The power windows don't work.
Lady, I know we don't have time to discuss this, but you should have taken your car to Perfection Auto Works. They do windows.
You heard right. At Perfection Auto Works, we do windows. Power windows, that is. Our free 26-point inspection will have you covered. At Perfection Auto Works, we won't give you the bird. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
To the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk, thanks for making all of this possible. And we are broadcasting from the Perfection Auto Works Studios in Tucson, Arizona. Thanks so much to Mike Emery and his great people providing the studio for us. We've got a great show lineup for you. Matt Klink, GOP consultant and a political observer for KTLA, one of the most giant television stations in all of America, a 12 million population market in Los Angeles. And the political observer for KTLA is Matt Klink, who's my guest next. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, and our financial report from Jim Hanley. It's a great show. Thanks for being with us. Here's Matt Klink. Hi, Matt.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you could join us. We've got a lot going on with Biden. It's make it or break it, I think, this next week. Domestic legislation, the better bill or whatever you call it, and the infrastructure debt ceiling is at a crisis. But no help on immigration reform, nothing going on with voter protection, drug pricing, I don't think they're going to deal with that. The deficit, they got to deal with that. And climate, I don't know whether they're going to deal with that. Tell me what is possible for the Biden administration this next week and what is not.
Anything big and audacious is not going to happen at this point. I think what you're seeing the retake of the Biden administration, that they have gone back to the drawing board. They know that they have the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is traditional infrastructure, but where they're going to really let down the liberal base is on what they call the Build Back Better, the human infrastructure, which is the progressive wish list that they wanted to try to implement. That's going to get it's going to be hacksawed through. It was $3.5 trillion. It's probably now a shade under $2 trillion, which is still a lot of money. It's nothing to sneeze at. But even that's up in the air because of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin from West Virginia.
Yeah, but how are they going to have any way to bend both of these controversial senators, to say the least? I mean, is there any play here at all between the two of them?
Very, very little. You know, they need money. You know, that if you use reconciliation, which is, you know, you're supposed to be able to reconcile past budgets, you only need a 50-vote majority, but there are budget windows that you have to fit in, and it's going to be really, really tough. You know, a lot of the climate policy that Joe Biden wants to do stares straight into the teeth of, you know, West Virginia, that still gets the majority of its power from coal. They certainly don't want to switch to, you know, the green mandates that that's now become the progressive religion. So it's going to be a really, really tough time. And you're looking at Joe Biden's poll numbers. He's paying the price for it now. He's down among every single group that backed him.
Let me ask you a little bit about what's not going to happen. Of course, nothing on immigration reform. I don't see anything happening. The border still is at a crisis level with numbers that we've never seen before. Voter protection, I think Democrats are very concerned about that and what's happening all across the country. Drug pricing, I don't think we're going to deal with that. Believe me, I've had a recent experience with that, and somebody better deal with it because I can't do it anymore. And, of course, the deficit they've got to deal with that. Is that going to be a situation in which we're not going to pay our debt? And then, of course, the climate bill. We've got There is an agenda that is not going to be met at all by the Biden administration, even if you deal with the issues you just talked about.
No, he's flailing on everything right now. And, you know, the Democrats have the votes to raise the debt ceiling by themselves. Joe Biden told the Republicans that they needed to do it in 2006 and 2008 when he was Senator Joe Biden. And the Democrats, they have 50 votes. They can vote it. They can do it now. The only thing is that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi don't want to do it because they know it harms them politically. When it comes to anything big and bold on the environment, that certainly is not going to happen. And, you know, the thing that I find most troubling is that Joe Biden fancied himself a transformative president, like a LBJ or an FDR. He doesn't have the congressional majorities that either of those two presidents had. He only has 4 seats to play with in the House, and he has no margin for error in the Senate. And, I mean, he should have played toward the middle, but he has governed like a very, very progressive Democrat, which is not how he campaigned, and it's certainly not the way that the people who voted for him expected him to rule.
I just can't imagine him running for another term. I mean, I know it's a little early to talk about 2024. It's maybe even early to talk about 2022. But let's talk about 2022, because I think you've told me over and over again, it looks like the Republicans may take the House. I don't know about the Senate, but it's very possible. Do you see that happening next year?
Absolutely. Look at the number of retirements of senior Democrats that are leaving the House because they realize that life in the minority in the House means that you have really no power whatsoever. I think that this is Nancy Pelosi's swan song. That's why she's pushing so hard for these progressive measures that are going to have a long and lasting impact. Unfortunately, she just doesn't have the numbers to play with. And the Senate, I think it's the same thing. And Joe Biden should be very, very concerned, because if you think he's getting nothing done now, just wait until he doesn't control one or both houses of Congress.
Well, it's pretty much over for him, literally, I would think. I wouldn't think he could get anything done, literally, period.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, you're right, that a lot of big issues are not getting handled. You know, you and I have had, gosh, at this point, probably 100 conversations about immigration reform. The problem is that both sides think that they can make political gains by not resolving the issue. Although I don't see what the benefit to the Democratic Party is to have an open border and let, you know, 1.7 million people come across, the most ever in 2020. But they still think that there are some advantages there. But we've got redistricting that's going to change the makeup of Congress. You know, California lost a seat for the first time ever. And a lot of the red states gained seats. But it's going to be fascinating. I think that you're probably looking right now at a a 50-seat pickup for the Republicans in the House, akin to 2009 when, or, you know, 2000 and, was it not 2009? It was Barack Obama, 2010, excuse me, Barack Obama's first midterm. And don't forget, that happened after the Democrats were successful in passing Obamacare. Joe Biden has done nothing that's been like that.
We're talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant, one of the most respected GOP consultants in all of America. Matt, let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling on abortion. This is going to be dramatic, and it's going to happen very soon. What's your prediction?
You know, I think that Roe v. Wade ultimately will change. It's just a question of how it changes. You know, the Texas law, and, you know, abortion is one of those issues that you're either there is really no middle ground. It's either you're pro-life or you're pro-choice. The science behind this, we're much more adept now at determining when does life begin. And I think that's the ultimate question. I do think that there will be some changes, and I think that neither side is ultimately going to be happy. But, you know, it's a 6-3 conservative court, and I think that Roe in its current form is going to change, but probably not as dramatic as the Texas law would allow.
Talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant in Los Angeles. Let me take a quick break and come back. I have so much more to talk with you about.
Sure.
Matt Klink has more than 30 years of experience working on complex, controversial, and high-profile issues for public and private sector clients, as well as candidates for elected offices and ballot measure campaigns. Matt Klink has worked for corporate political clients for more than 35 countries and 6 continents. Boosts 20 years experience working on oil, gas, energy clients in California and other Western states. Holds an MA in political management from George Washington University, graduate to School of Political Management and BA in History at the University of California, Berkeley, and General Secretary and Board Member of the International Association of Political Consultants. We'll be back with Matt Klink after these messages.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guinea's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guinea's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. With me is Matt Klink, one of the more respected GOP strategists in all of America. Matt, environmental activists staging protests in several continents all across the globe to press their demands for more government action to curb global warming. Protesters all across the globe, from Sweden to Germany, India, Italy, thousands in this country as well. I don't see any climate legislation that's going to address some of the issues that I think a great many Californians are very concerned about, not only the fires that have burned half the state, but the floods that may flood what's left of it. It's real. But what are we going to do about it? And is anybody going to do anything about it?
Well, unfortunately, John, the problem that California is experiencing and that and what Joe Biden wants to bring to the rest of the United States is that this is a global issue. And California, you know, now we have unreliable energy. We pay the highest gas prices in the nation. Energy is more expensive. And if we were to implement everything that we've done, we would not, you know, I think as a 0.01% temperature change globally. So the challenge is that, you know, the countries that are consuming the most energy right now is China. And I know that Joe Biden loves to talk about China and solar panels and wind energy. China is also building new coal plants. So, you know, between China and India, number one and number three in the world, they are still ramping up their industrial capacity. And the thought of American wealth going to other countries to discourage them from growing their economy or from growing their infrastructure, most Americans don't support that either. So the challenge is that there is a way to be cleaner, but there has to be some tie to cost efficiency, because we cannot afford to have, you know, out of control energy costs. I mean, just look at Joe Biden right now. Gasoline across the United States is more expensive. That is a tax increase on the working people more than the wealthy that nobody wants. And that's another reason why Joe Biden's poll numbers are so far are slumping so much.
We're talking with Matt Klink, GOP strategist. And Matt, we started this whole thing about the weakening of the presidency and this administration showing very little strength at this moment. In fact, showing less strength almost every day. We can't really afford that. I don't care how partisan you are. I mean, you must be, and many people are, die-in-the-wool Republicans and maybe a lot of Biden haters or whatever. But, I mean, a weak presidency, a weak administration during these crises strikes me as harmful to all, no matter what your politics. I mean, we need some strength now, and wishing for Biden to go, which he's not going to do, isn't going to make anything any better. But we need the strength of a strong presidency, do we not?
We absolutely do, and unfortunately, we're not going to get it from a president who I think is having some cognitive issues. I'm not going to say that he's lost it, but he does lose it periodically. And in a world that is now a multipolar world, we don't just have one main enemy with that being Russia. We've got China, we've got Iran, we've got Russia, the world is a very, very complex place. And, you know, there's a reason why we need a president that is really with it and together. And we're not seeing that with Joe Biden. You know, we need a new leader. And, you know, I wrote a column just the other day. I feel like we're back in the 1970s with the Carter melees. And, you know, we've got high inflation, we've got high energy prices, we've got, I mean, everything but the gas lines. And the White House right now is telling people that they need to lower their expectations, or as Jen Psaki said, the tragedy of the delayed treadmill for the supply chain crisis. We're talking about diapers and turkeys here. I mean, people aren't going to have turkeys for Thanksgiving. And the White House is making jokes. So, you know, the last time this happened, we were blessed to get Ronald Reagan as president. We need someone powerful to step up, and we need someone new to step up. And hopefully that persons emerge. But right now, I don't see either side having it yet.
Well, we have not even completed 1 year of the Biden administration. You got three more to go. I mean, where are you going to go to get another president? I mean, it's not like you're just going to say, let's have another president today. I mean, come on, seriously.
No, that's not going to happen. Right. I think the challenge is that, here we do have a long way to go in this presidency, but he has fallen this far, this fast. And really with no prescription to get out of where we're in. And the elections of 2022 are going to be ugly from a Democratic perspective across the board. And if Terry McAuliffe loses in Virginia, which is sounding more and more likely, just wait. They'll be talking of a route of epic proportions. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not my job to figure it out for the Biden administration, but they need to do something different because everything they're doing right now is failing.
What's going to happen with Virginia? What's the deciding issue there that might topple this Democratic gubernatorial incumbency?
So, you know, the Terry McAuliffe, who was governor, and, you know, in Virginia, you can only run for one term as governor and you have to step down. He's running again. He took a four-year hiatus. And he wants to make this a race that Mr. Youngkin, who is the Republican nominee, he wants to make him a vote of Donald Trump. And because Donald Trump is very, very unpopular in the state of Virginia. But Terry McAuliffe answered a question about schools, and he said that parents should have no input in their children's education. And if you've been looking at the protests in Loudoun County, Virginia, you're seeing that the parents do want a role. They do not want critical race theory taught in schools. They want, you know, they're very, very frustrated. And it has turned race, and it has made education choice and the role of parents and the education of their children a top issue among all voters. And it is a hyper-local issue, and polling is neck-neck right now. And don't forget, Virginia is not a purple state anymore. Virginia is a blue state, but it is not right now. It's not because it's changing back to being more Republican. It's just that Terry McAuliffe is just a bad candidate who's not in step with the times in Virginia.
Matt Klink, it's great to talk with you. Thanks for giving up part of your weekend for us. I always appreciate it so very, very much. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Have a great weekend, John. See you later.
Thank you, but Matt Klink, GOP strategist, consultant from Los Angeles, also the political observer for Channel 5, which is one of the most watched television stations in all of America. That's a 12 million population market, Los Angeles, and Channel 5 is one of the most watched television news channels in all of Los Angeles, KTLA. We want to thank Matt Klink for being with us. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Coming back next with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party.
They've landed! They're here! They're here!
This is WHOR Television, and we're live. I cannot believe what I see. The ship has landed. It is beyond words. Oh, wait. The door is opening. There's a creature coming out, walking down the steps. He is speaking with the representative. Let's listen. It's so quiet, you can hear a pin drop.
Take us to your leader.
To be quite honest, you came at a really bad time.
Yes, timing is everything. And it's always a good time to have your car serviced at Perfection Auto Works, the leader in car repair, for over a quarter of a century. From our free 26-point inspection, we'll keep your car moving, along with the Earth's rotation, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over five decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us. With us now, Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, a regular to the Bill Buckmaster debates on the noon hour broadcast of Buckmaster on KVOI. And Don Jorgensen, thanks for being with us. Glad you could join us. Thank you.
Nice to be with you, John.
Democratic Arizona Senator Kirsten Sinema faces more defections, as you know, Don. That happened, I believe, Thursday from a broad base of support that she built to win that seat in 2018 when, I believe, the five members of her Veterans Advisory Council resigned over her opposition to parts of President Biden's infrastructure plan and refusal to ditch the Senate filibuster. How far down the rabbit hole is Sinema, and is she ever going to be able to get out, and what do we do about her?
Yeah, that second question, can she ever get out, is the key one. And it's one thing to move from a progressive stance, as everyone knows, that's where she was when she was in the state legislature, and even to some degree in the House, although she started moving to the center when she went to Congress. And no problem with that. That's what it takes to get elected in Arizona. Democrats understood that. There's a Democratic Party in Arizona is a big tent. So you have progressives, you have centrists, and that was understood. But this move to the Senate and her move off of whatever bubble that was into her, some bubble of her own here, is very bizarre. And up until this point, you could understand that perhaps she's looking to make a name. She did have, and perhaps does have, some sincere beliefs about some of the bills that are up. But so many of these positions have been in contrast to her previous stances with regard to the minimum wage and her voting against having that in a previous bill. Now her acceptance of, I think, upwards of $750,000 from Big Pharma is opposite her stance on lowering drug costs. That she's losing her base and losing her center. No one is quite sure what her philosophical center is now, along with her dismissive and some would say inappropriate and certainly unprofessional behavior, both in her comments to the press. And again, the press represents the public, and her behavior on the floor of the Senate has turned off a lot of the base of her support in the Democratic Party that I'm not sure she can get back. And yeah, 3 years is a long time between now and her next election. So maybe some miraculous things can happen. But she is fortunate that there's no vote this year or next year, or she'd be toast.
Well, you know, you got veterans very upset with her refusing to back changes to the filibuster, saying it's a preventative action on voting rights, immigration. There's other key rights issues, Democratic priorities, all she's in opposition to, which is just angering a tremendous amount of the progressive base she had, as well as moderates as well. Others will tell us, well, wait a minute, she's got high numbers with independents, high numbers with Republicans. That's not going to elect her. If she loses this base, she loses the Senate race, which is a long way off. I understand that. But it comes up pretty darn quickly. You'd be surprised. You turn around and there you are in the middle of an election. I think this is critical for the next few days for her. She can either recover or she can go under. You know, and I don't know what going under is. She may have a lot of money, but I'm not sure that would save her.
Now, you wonder if things don't change what her exit strategy might be, because I don't think it'll be returning to the Senate. You know, that would be kind of a lost opportunity for Democrats and for Kyrsten Sinema. But this support for the filibuster, again, she went in with the benefit of the doubt, but she has lost that, frankly, because supporting the filibuster now has been proven by the Republicans to be absolute nonsense. And they clearly, based on the most recent vote, demonstrated that they have no interest in working with Democrats, that the filibuster has nothing to do with forcing parties to work together. And so that claim has been completely debunked. It is, as always, used to derail bills, usually that favor all Americans and are supported by all Americans, tend to be civil rights bills. They tend to be bills that help American families, and you know, but it's been used to derail all kinds of bills that help people over time, and we're seeing that now because the Republicans have no interest in working with Democrats or allowing any of these bills to pass. And you know, she's doing their job for them. And unfortunately, what's happening now is all the focus is on Joe Manchin and on Kyrsten Sinema, as though they're the only two who oppose the Build Back Better agenda, who oppose the Voting Rights Act. And it isn't. It is 52 senators. But the Republicans are getting away with just sitting on the sidelines laughing and doing nothing because Kyrsten Sinema has gone off the rails. And as you said, I'm not sure if she can earn that back. Certainly she cannot if a Voting Rights Act of some type doesn't pass, and if the Biden agenda doesn't pass. Those are critical. And if these don't happen, I'd say by the end of this year, then the Democrats will have a very tough time winning in the midterms, and Kyrsten Sinema will have almost an impossible time in winning back her base in Arizona.
I only have a few more minutes, Don. I apologize about the brevity, but are you concerned about this redrawing of the districts? We don't even know what the boundaries of legislative districts are, congressional districts, and that's a real if for a lot of people who want to run and a lot of people who are anxious about these races, because it could determine literally the outcome. How concerned are you about this? You tried to get on that redistricting board. You didn't make it, but others did. How certain are you, or if you are certain at all, this could be a fair drawing of the boundaries?
I would be pleasantly shocked if it's a fair drawing of the boundaries, because the Ducey had his thumb on the scale from the beginning. And just watching what's happening now, and we're watching it very closely, the maps that have come out are very unfair. And I say that specifically because fairness is one of the criteria in terms of balanced districts and looking at competitiveness as one of the issues. And we're seeing that not being considered. We're seeing a lot of focus on kind of made up communities of interest. And I'll give you one example. We have one of the commissioners, one of the Republican commissioners, Mr. Meal from Pima County, it has really taken control of the commission, which should be run by the chair, who's the so-called independent, but is really almost creating a donut around Tucson. Now, creating an actual kind of donut district is illegal under the law, but if you could almost see a horseshoe being drawn to again favor the Republicans in these districts to keep a homogenous area instead of addressing all the issues of all communities of interest, having districts that follow geographic boundaries that provide competitiveness. And so my concern is you're going to wind up with let's say that of the 9 congressional districts, for example, you might wind up with 4 very strong Republican, 2 very strong Democrat, and then 2 out of the 3 that lean very strongly Republican, not balanced at all. And it could be even worse when it comes to the legislative districts, because right now it's only a 1-seat, switch in either House. The House or Senate that would provide for an even number, and then Democrats gain power that way. So I'm very concerned because I'm seeing too much influence coming from the right and a move away from looking at competitive districts. So I urge everyone to keep an eye on that. And right now there's still opportunity for public input, not into the maps, but commenting on the maps. Because that part hasn't finished, but they are still changing week by week right now. But we have to keep an eye on it.
That's disturbing news, disturbing to say the least. Don Jorgensen, thanks for giving us part of your weekend. I appreciate you so much for your appearance on our show today. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, John.
Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party. He followed Matt Klink, GOP strategist from Los Angeles. Coming up, Jim Hanley, our financial guru. Great idea about the jobs numbers and the market report and the BBB compromise, if there is one. A lot to talk about with Jim Hanley after these messages. Now, 2 great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business.
This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for being with us today. Jim Hanley is with us. He's one of the smartest financial advisors I know, and he joins us now. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me on.
I need some job numbers, a market report, what's going on with the BBB, and a whole bunch of things happening in Washington this week that will dramatically affect all our lives, so go for it.
Okay, John. Thanks very much. Yes, the Build Back Better plan is still very much the hot topic there in Congress. It looks to me as if there is a compromise in the offing, and I was really glad to hear your previous guest mention that there are more than just two people who are opposed to the Build Back Better plan in the Senate. We tend to focus on the Democrats, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. But there's 50 Republicans that are opposed to it. We see that Joe Manchin has thrown a wrench into the works just to serve his own personal financial interests. Unfortunately, it is no secret that he owns some $5 million of stock in coal companies. That, in fact, I've read that he actually started some of the coal companies in West Virginia. He received like $481,000 in dividends last year from his dirty energy stock. And so he is insisting on stripping out all of the clean energy requirements and clean energy credits, that will go to, electric companies around the country. And in order to try to do something meaningful about this climate change crisis that we have. We also see on the other side, the Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. And, it has finally come out. I think Joe Biden is the one that told the story that she's really not opposed to any of the programs in the Build Back Better. She's just concerned about the tax increases. And we know that there are two main bodies that will be taxed under this plan. One are corporations, a modest increase of 7 percentage points in the nominal rate from 21% to 28%. An increase in the highest tax bracket from 37.5% to 39%. Again, a very modest increase, and this tax would be levied just on the richest Americans. But Kyrsten Sinema just won't have it. And by all appearances, the reason why she has taken this approach is because over the last several years, she's accepted a great deal of support from banks and other financial institutions, pharmaceutical companies. And it's really a shame because, you know, she had such a bright future when she really was sticking to her expressed beliefs, in green energy. And she just, you know, by all appearances has sold out. So I think that we are going to see the Build Back Better plan come to fruition by the end of the month. That's a deadline that Nancy Pelosi has self-imposed, and I think it's a deadline that's going to be reached. So we're going to see some movement there. That I think is being reflected in the financial markets. We saw the Dow have a pretty good week. It was up 309 points. It closed Friday at 35,603, back well within its historical high level. It was a less than 1% gain for the week, but still, I think 309 points on the positive side is really good. In the tech-heavy NASDAQ, we saw a healthy 1.29% increase for the week. And I wanted to mention the positive territory that both of those have had since the end of the quarter, since September. So we see the Dow, since the end of September, up 1,759 points. That's almost 5.2%. And the NASDAQ up 642 points. So the NASDAQ, since the end of September, is up 4.44%. So I think that, you know, I think it's a reflection of equity investors that the Biden agenda is going to be passed, that there will be, that we will see room for increased corporate earnings. You know, as I've mentioned before, stock prices are really supported by corporate earnings. If we don't see growth in earnings, it's hard to justify increases in stock prices. So on the jobs front, and here before I get into the numbers on new claims, I want to point out that you know, we're also experiencing this phenomenon that the media has called the big quit or the great resignation, because so many workers have quit their jobs in 2021, especially because, you know, when I talk about new claims, you only qualify for unemployment compensation if you lose your job through no fault of your own. So if you're laid off or if you're fired without just cause, you're eligible to file a claim for unemployment compensation. So there was last week, there was 290,000 new claims. That's a new post-COVID low. It's down 6,000 week over week, you know, from what was revised the week before. And it's 10,000 less than expectations. So whenever the numbers come in lower than expectations, it's always, you know, it's always good news. On the continuing claims side, we also see another record post-COVID low at 2.48 million. So that's down 122,000. So I think that we are moving in the right direction, although, you know, the Delta variant dealt a very serious setback to our recovery, and I think that is what pretty much scotched the third quarter.
Well, Jim, we're about out of time here. I want people to realize they can call you and talk, buddy, with you anytime, 623-3646. You go to jimhanleyllc.com, to one of the best websites in America when it comes to financial advice. It is a great website, and I know a lot of people go to it on a very regular basis. People pick up the phone and talk to you all the time. And I'm just so blessed to have you as a part of our show because of your expertise and your great experience in money matters. And it always makes my show so much better because you're on. I hope you have a good weekend. I'm sorry about the time thing. We did get a lot of information on, and I appreciate it so very, very much. And I hope you have a good weekend.
It's always a pleasure, John, and I hope you do too. Take it easy.
Love Japan. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
KBOI, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk. Very quickly, a personal note. I have a PT Cruiser. I love this little car. It takes me everywhere I need to go. Air conditioner goes out. Temperature gauge climbs to we're all going to die. I called AAA. They rushed the car to Perfection Auto Works Wednesday. Get a call on Thursday. Mike Emery says, your car's ready. I went, really? He says, yes. I said, the cost? He said, it's the estimate. Just what we told you. Didn't have time to detail the car because we wanted to get it back to you as quickly as possible. That's service. I mean, who does that? What auto repair place does that? That's why we're so proud to have Perfection Auto Works as our prime sponsor.
Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.